The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What are the seven great wonders of the world? I'm not sure. Is the Sphinx one of them? I can't name the first seven, but I know what number eight should be. Why did the Philadelphia Eagles draft a quarterback? Why did the Philadelphia Eagles draft Jalen Hurts? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can answer that question at 888-729-3776. It's a happy Monday, the Monday after the draft, and I'm excited to be hanging out with you again. Let's break it all down. Let's talk about who got the best grade. Let's rank the classes 1 to 10. I'll tell you my favorite drafts. I'll tell you who won the draft. We'll talk about specific players. And episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance aired last night. And the controversy today is how heavy is the grudge that Michael Jordan carries. It seems to be focused on Isaiah Thomas. I've got news and notes, my biggest observations from episodes 3 and 4. Let's talk about Isaiah Thomas, who went on ESPN Airwaves this morning and said, if Michael Jordan's grudge is what kept me off the dream team, boy, do I have regrets. That's all coming up in this hour of the Will Cain Show, but we start with the eighth wonder of the world. On Friday night, I was on Instagram Live with Damian Woody. You can always join me. I'm going to do new stuff there. I'm going to hang out with you, probably take questions, see Will Cain on Instagram. And when we were watching, in the second round of the draft, the Philadelphia Eagles selected quarterback out of Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts. I went bananas. Damian lost his head. My internet connection dropped. I immediately brought Dan Orlovsky into the Instagram Live. I said, you got to explain this to me. He couldn't. No one understood. What exactly are the Eagles doing? We've heard since then various explanations. Let me see if I can rattle off three or four. Here we go. Taysom Hill role, you know, 7-8 plays a game. Is that why you use a second round pick? Backup quarterback's very important in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz doesn't have a history of finishing seasons. Is that why you use a second round pick? Rona, you know, if your quarterback gets the Rona, you need to have a second quarterback. I don't really understand how that works. If your quarterback gets the Rona, then your quarterback room has the Rona, and you're quarantined, and the dominoes start falling, and the league's over. So I don't know what the Eagles are doing. I find it mystifying that the Philadelphia Eagles, who have committed $100 million to their franchise quarterback, who's all of 27 years old, and Carson Wentz, used a second-round pick on Jalen Hurts. But I cannot go as far as Max Kellerman did this morning on First Take. Here was Max's explanation of why the Eagles took Jalen Hurts. Listen.
The argument is actually that, no, it's just because he might get hurt. So instead of signing one of a million veteran quarterbacks you could take as a backup, you don't have to spend a second-round pick level draft capital on.
I'm going to kill this argument, Max.
Instead of doing that, you take on what you guys label a project in terms of a pass thrower, right? A project. So if Carson Wentz gets hurt, then he won't be able to take over the reins, right? A veteran would be more
ready
to do that.
Max went on to say, in conclusion, therefore, three dots on a piece of paper, they drafted Jalen Hurts to replace Carson Wentz. Boom! I can't get behind that. I can't go as far as Max Kellerman went. But I see how his logic led him there. Here's the thing. When other teams draft a quarterback in the second round, why do they do it? Why do they do it? Like, go back through history and you look at teams that draft quarterbacks high in the NFL draft. And certainly the second round would count as high in the NFL draft. In almost every situation, your answer you will come back to be your next quarterback. You draft quarterbacks in the second round to become starters because that's how you get value out of a pick that every NFL team considers a starter when you're drafting that high. I'm telling you, let's go back through history. You help me out. 888-729-3776. You point to a second round quarterback that was drafted to be a backup. You point to a second round quarterback who was drafted to be a gadget player. You point to a second round quarterback who wasn't drafted to ultimately one day be your guy, be your starter. I don't think we can come up with one. So that leaves us with this. What are the reasons that the Eagles drafted him? Let's go through them if we can. Okay, here's number one. We've heard this on several occasions. He's going to be a Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill with the New Orleans Saints everybody likes. He comes in. He's interesting. He's wide receiver. He's slash. He's tight end. He's running back. He's slash. He's quarterback. He can play anything. Taysom Hill, colon, football player. And everybody in the league wants themselves a Taysom Hill. And maybe, just maybe, that's true. The Eagles want to get a slash. They want to get a fascinating gadget, unpredictable player. But here's the question. Do you spend a second-round pick acquiring one of those guys? The Saints certainly didn't. They found Taysom Hill as an undrafted free agent. Do you spend a second-round pick on a 7-play-per-game guy? I don't think so. Reason number two. Backup quarterback's important in Philadelphia. We've heard this on the Will Cain Show for some time. Bill Pullen used to come on the show, and he told me that the Eagles consider backup quarterback a top 10 position on the roster. And of course they would, because a backup quarterback in Nick Foles won them a Super Bowl. Interestingly, Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts could look at each other in the locker room and say, hey, we got something in common. Both of us relinquished our jobs to a backup quarterback who then went on to win a championship. Nick Foles for the Eagles, Tua Tagovailoa for Alabama. Also, interestingly, when you put their names together, it's almost foreboding. Eagles quarterback depth chart. Wentz, Hurts. Wentz, Hurts. Wentz, Hurts. Get it? I just don't think no matter how important backup quarterback is to you, you spend, again, a second-round pick on it. I hear Max Kellerman addressing that right there. I just don't think, even if you tell yourself, hey, Carson doesn't finish seasons, Carson gets hurt, we're going to need a backup quarterback for two or three games, and if that's two or three wins, that's worth it. How many other players on the roster get you two or three wins? We'll spend a second on Jalen Hurts. Nobody spends that pick that high. Nobody buys an insurance policy in the second round. Insurance policy. That's how Dan Orlovsky responded to Max Kellerman. Listen.
This is an insurance policy. The last three seasons, Carson has not finished. And no matter how great I think he is, it's 100% justifiable to bring in a good, healthy, developing insurance policy.
An insurance policy. In the second round. Say what you will about Max's arguments, and they're often bad, but he's right. You don't buy policies like that in the second round. You can sign a veteran free agent. You can draft one in the fourth, fifth. The Eagles could have gotten Jake Fromm in the fifth round. There's a lot of cheap policies to buy out there. You don't buy policies that run you $20,000 in premiums a month and only pay out $500,000 if you get hurt. It doesn't work that way. That's not how much you spend on a policy. And then, third, there was Adam Schefter, who apparently said the Eagles have a reason they like Jalen Hurts. And it's a very, very modern, of-the-moment reason. Listen to this.
Now in this day and age, I've had teams tell me it's more important than ever to have a backup quarterback in this pandemic. We're going to be playing next year. Coronavirus is out there, COVID-19. What if your quarterback gets the virus? It's an interesting situation here. There are more problems now than ever before. And so I think teams are looking to shore up the most important position in this sport.
So what if your starter gets the Rona? Better have a good backup. I can't add that one up. Because for a position group all sitting in the same meeting room, playing on the same field, if your quarterback gets the Rona, you're in trouble. You're probably going to have to quarantine most of the team, do a contact tracing, probably going to end up dominoing into the whole league, and the last thing you're going to be worried about is whether or not Jalen Hurts is on your roster. You're going to be worried about whether or not you're fielding a game the next week. I can't make heads or tails of it. One, two, three. It doesn't seem worth the price. I don't think Max Kellerman is right. I don't think he gets to his conclusion, which is extreme. I think he gets there through decent logic, but a massive leap at the end. And that leaves me standing at the edge of the cliff going, how far do I have to jump? Why? Why? Why spend a second round pick on a gadget player, a backup, a Rona insurance policy? None of it makes sense. It's the eighth wonder of the world. The Philadelphia Eagles, who want to be a quarterback factory, right now are a factory of questions. And that's my opening take, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Let me know what you think. 888-729-3776. it was really one of the most compelling moments in The Last Dance. I mean, there's a line, and it won't translate. Neither me retelling it to you, or even if I had the audio playing it to you, because it was all in Michael Jordan's eyes. Honestly, it was in his eyes. You saw as they darted around up and down the way he felt about the Pistons, the way he felt about friend of the Will Cain show, Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah went on ESPN Airwaves this morning and responded. I'll tell you about that next on the Will Cain show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
You know the old saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Hell hath no fury like Michael Jordan's grudge. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's got consequences, and it's got staying power. And it's still with Isaiah Thomas, who responded today after the latest airing of The Last Dance on ESPN. I'll play that for you coming up in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show. But I've asked, simple question, why? Why would the Eagles draft a quarterback in the second round? Why would they draft Jalen Hurts? I see my phone lines are lit up with answers. Most people are telling me things that we already know or reasons that have already been given to us. Oh, they're going to do the Taysom Hill thing. They're going to run gadget plays. Or, oh, it's a backup quarterback. If that's true, and I can't tell you it's not true, why would you pend a second round pick on either of those things? But a few of you have some different answers, like Chris in Idaho. What's up, Chris? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, I feel like everybody's complaining about the destination, and nobody's taking time to look at the roadmap. You know, the extended 18-game season is on its way. We're seeing Taysom Hill. The Eagles bring in Marnie Morningwig as an offensive consultant. There are a lot of things going on. And everybody's assuming that Howie's the dumbest guy in the room. And Howie's history is that he's usually the smartest guy in the room. Sometimes he gets a little too cocky, but I think he's seeing the future. And I think this is an innovation. And I think that the Eagles, and I'm a longtime Eagles fan, and I've suffered since early, mid-60s. And, you know, I something's coming. And it may not work, but it's going to be pretty damn exciting. And he's not showing his hand. He's making all the right moves and saying all the right things, but you listen to him, he's just snickering behind his breath. He's got a plan.
Okay, Chris, I hear you. For your sake, I hope it works out.
You must agree. I get no pushback.
Okay, I don't agree. Here's the pushback. I appreciate the call. The pushback is this. I like how you said this. You said everybody's focused on the destination and not the roadmap. I think everybody's focused on the destination and not the player. Because even if you believe that you need two quarterbacks, even if you bought into some kind of 17-game schedule and therefore let's load and manage Carson Wentz, even if you bought into everything that everybody said so far, including gadget plays, why Jalen Hurts? I like Jalen Hurts. I root for Jalen Hurts. Even though I'm not a Sooner fan, I root for the individual, the human being, and what he's overcome. But I'm going to be real with you. I don't think Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback, not an NFL-level quarterback. I've watched the guy play. I've watched him play against my teams. He was a good college quarterback. He was one read, pull it down, and run. That didn't scream NFL quarterback to me. And I'm not the only one who has said this, by the way. There are others who have agreed. I sat on a set before with people like Mina Kimes who said, yep, that's what I saw as well. Now, Howie Roseman could be playing chess while the rest of us are playing checkers. He could be smirking in the background, but right now, I'm feeling pretty good about my hand, too. It doesn't seem to add up. Jeremy in Florida's also got an answer. What's up, Jeremy?
Two words. Quarterback factory. I think they saw too much value. They think he's a franchise quarterback. Obviously, they got Carson Wentz, but we know he's going to get injured, so they'll be able to showcase him throughout the season. And then I think they're going to flip him for a couple first-round picks like they did with Nick Foles. I think it's a new trend for Philly. Quarterback, factory, taking the page right out of Bill Belichick's book. What you think about that one?
Okay, here's what I like and here's what I don't like about that idea. First of all, you know I believe in drafting quarterbacks. I appreciate the call, Jeremy. You know I believe in the idea of asset value inflation when it comes to quarterbacks. I made the argument last week that the Lions and the Giants should even have considered that in the first round based upon the recommendation of Jimmy Johnson, that you could flip them for more, right? But that means you got to believe the player is going to become an increasing asset. Now, look, he's going to probably have the opportunity. I'm not trying to take, you know, gratuitous shots here. He's probably going to get to play in Philadelphia. Because if history's our judge, Carson's going to get hurt and Jalen's going to have his chance. And if he plays well, then you're right. Asset inflation, the Eagles flip him. Perhaps they get more than a second round pick on him. But then you go back to the player. Do you believe Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson do? And they know more about quarterbacks than I do. So I say this humbly. I don't. I don't think Jalen is going to increase in asset value. I don't think he's going to be somebody that the Eagles get to flip, even if the opportunity presents itself for a couple of ones down the road. You can keep letting me know what you think, 888-729-3776. Episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance aired last night on ESPN. They picked up, I'd say, more in the second episode, episode 4. Episode 3 was about Rodman, and Rodman is a fascinating character. I don't even think we got that deep into Rodman's background and who he was. The most fascinating thing was his 48-hour vacation that turned into several days in Vegas, which was spent with Carmen Electra, and that Michael Jordan had to go fetch Rodman out of Vegas, out of bed, with Carmen Electra. She said she was terrified, didn't want Michael Jordan to see her with bedhead or whatever it may be, and hid. Episode 4 goes into Phil Jackson, who's also a fascinating character. The thing about the 90s Bulls is there were so many characters. Like, who's boring and normal? I mean, I guess Steve Kerr. But so far, we've invested in Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, and Jackson. And they're all fascinating. But there was a moment last night that really, really, really was awesome television. Because it was so real and authentic. Jordan's talking about the first time they beat the Detroit Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals. And they're headed off to go play for the NBA Finals. Two-time defending champion Detroit Pistons walk off the floor. I'm sure you've seen it. It's in the Bad Boys documentary, which focuses just on the Pistons. They leave the floor. They don't shake hands. And it really ticks off the Bulls. Now, here's what's interesting on the Pistons side of this. They said the Celtics did the same thing a few years ago when they dethroned the Celtics in the East. But nobody ever focuses on the Celtics having done it. They focus on the Pistons. I think that's interesting. I also don't think it's an excuse. I think it's weak. I think walking off without shaking hands is weak. That's what I believe. I think being a man is taking your medicine, congratulating the other team. And to his credit, Jordan says, that's what we did when we lost over and over to the Pistons. But Jordan holds this grudge, man. He holds it. And you can see it in his eyes. They're darting around. He's talking about, you know, how weak it is. By the way, quick clip from Horace Grant. He dresses and he calls the Pistons straight up bees. But he doesn't say bees. He says the full word, straight up bees. But man, it's all in Jordan's eyes. And they say, we want to show you something that Isaiah says about in the documentary. Isaiah explains why he didn't do it. And Jordan's like, you can show me what you want to show me, but I don't care. You're never going to convince me he's not an a-hole. And I mean, Jordan has no play in him. No play in his eyes. No play in his voice. Well, Isaiah Thomas went on Get Up this morning, and he was really fascinating on this. And I think he talked pretty honestly as well. Here's what Isaiah Thomas said.
When the Dream Team was selected and I wasn't a part of it, there was a lot of controversy around it. And I still don't know who did it or why they say I didn't make it. I know the criteria for selection of making a team, I had fit all the criteria. And that's a big hole in my resume. I wasn't a part of it. That hurt me. And looking back, if I'm not a part of the Dream Team because a lapse in emotion in terms of not shaking someone's hand, if that's the reason why I didn't make the Dream Team, then I am more disappointed today than I was back then when I wasn't selected.
Oh, I bet it hurts. I bet it does. I mean, look, I think you should have, Isaiah. Isaiah's a friend of the show. He's been on the show. I've communicated with Isaiah. You should have shook hands. I mean, I think he would probably even admit that. But man, Jordan can hold a grudge, and man, he makes you pay a price. I mean, I feel for Isaiah. If that's why I didn't make the Dream Team, that one moment, I mean, that's a large price to pay. the reputational price might have been enough. The Last Dance recap, this recap on the Will Cain Show is brought to you by AT&T. Let's break down the best picks from the draft with an expert, Matt Bowen, former NFL player. He knows which were value picks and which were reaches. That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Burrow and Tua and Herbert, I thought, went where they should go. All great fits.
The Eagles drafting Hurts in the second round.
He's a winner. He understands how to win. He has great maturity, a great work ethic.
Put the world on my shoulder. I'll probably squat it up.
Jalen Hurts is a 2020 version of Tim Tebow.
I was equally as shocked that Jordan Love ends up in Green Bay.
When you do what Green Bay did on Thursday night, the clock starts ticking.
Jalen Hurts is the 2020 version of Tim Tebow. That's what Peter Burns said. I honestly don't even know if he's trying to compliment him or not. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. We'll talk to Matt Bowen in just a moment about Jalen Hurts, but also which draft pick will have the biggest impact this upcoming season. But first, it's time for your SportsCenter update. The NBA informed its teams today that as numerous state and local governments have announced modifications of the stay-at-home orders and other restrictions on non-essential business activity beginning this week, the league is planning to modify its guidance regarding the use of team practice facilities and player training. The purpose of these changes is to allow for a safe and controlled environment for players to train in states that will allow them to do so, and to create a process for identifying safe training options for players located in other states. Talk about a competitive advantage. The league advised teams that it is targeting no earlier than Friday, May 8th as the commencement date for the new rules, and it may push that timing back if developments warrant. SportsCenter is brought to you by Nature Valley. If you love Nature Valley sweet and salty bars, you'll love the new sweet and salty minis. It's all the indulgent savory goodness you know, now in a smaller size, and at 100 calories, snacking has never been so sweet. Matt Bowen is an ESPN NFL analyst and senior writer and former player in the league, and he's on the phone lines right now. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Will, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to have you on the show. We've been going back and forth a little bit, you and I, on some players on Twitter. I've been asking you about Devin Duvernay and some of the defensive backs. I really like your analysis on all this. Let's start with this. What do you think, if you were picking a player, I'm guessing odds are it's going to be a day one, maybe a day two player. Who do you think has the biggest impact? I guess we'll take quarterbacks out of this, right? Who has the biggest impacts in year one?
I think there's a couple guys. Start with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, the running back out of LSU, going to Kansas City. Look, he ran a pro route tree at LSU. Everything you see in the NFL on Sundays, he ran in Joe Brady's offense at LSU. And look what Andy Reid has done in the past in terms of scheming up running backs in the pass game. One, Kansas City is one of the top screen packages in the NFL. They'll get them loose in the open field, but also the angle routes, the verticals releasing from the backfield. Look, I played against those Philly teams that had Brian Westbrook. We had no answer. Well, no answer. Mm-hmm. Just telling you right now, you had a game plan for the running back in the pass game. That's hard to do. I think he has an immediate impact. Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver going to San Francisco. Look, what does San Francisco do? Where does the ball go, Will? Play action, RPO, ball goes between the numbers. That's where Garoppolo wants to go. That's where Shanahan wants his quarterback to go with the football. He's the guy who's got instant juice after the catch. You know, similar mold to Deebo Samuel and how they utilize him. They'll get him on jet sweeps. They'll get him on reverses. They'll throw him screens. And they'll get him those quick hitters in the middle of the field. Obviously, Chase Young, you have to put him in there, right? Mm-hmm. Chase Young might have been the best player in this draft class. I mean, the best overall player in this draft class. And if you draft an edge rusher with the number 2 overall pick, he's your day one starter, and he should be a day one impact player. And look, I think his hands need to get a little better, okay? He's not as technique sound as Nick Bosa was coming out in terms of his hand usage. In terms of the athletic traits, they're off the charts. I mean, that's
Matt,
pick in the draft right there.
I was a little bit surprised that the Arizona Cardinals didn't go with an offensive lineman to protect Kyler Murray, right? But they were sitting there and they've got Isaiah Simmons. You played defensive back in the NFL. What is Isaiah Simmons? Like, you're going to have to be a creative defensive mind, I think, but it's always, right. This is the thing. When you're a guy who doesn't fit a box, that's awesome for you. You're unique, but you know, unique things are kind of hard in the world. Their paths aren't always really easy. So is he a safety? Is he a linebacker? What is Isaiah Simmons to the Cardinals?
Yeah, that's a great point because, you know, whenever training camp starts, you're going to have to teach them a pro position. I mean, that's what you have to teach alignment and stance, where your eyes go, your run path keys, all that stuff that goes into being a professional athlete on the defensive side of the ball. So you got to teach him a position first. I think he's a safety, Will. I mean, I really do. I think he's an alley player, a guy that plays his best football in space. He's not a physical box player. He's just not. And you think he is because of his size. You know, he's got rare traits in position. At 6'4", 238. I think he's more like Derwin James. And if I'm a coach, that's how I'm playing him. You know, in your base package, you play him at safety. Now, when you get your sub package, you know, your 5 and 6 DBs in the field, then he can be more creative. Then he becomes that hybrid player for your matchup player that you can blitz, cover down versus tight ends, you know, spin to the post deep to disguise coverages. A lot of things you could do with him. But if you put him inside in the box, I don't think you're playing to his strengths. I really don't. And that's what this draft is always about. What are you going to do as a coach? Don't draft the guy without a plan. Don't draft the guy and put him in a position where you're not taking advantage or trying to maximize his traits and his skill set. So for Simmons, I got to have him on the edge. I think that's where he's at his best.
Talking to Matt Bowen, ESPN NFL analyst here on the Will Cain Show. I'm going to ask you two quick questions about the NFC East, okay? First, do you understand what the Eagles are doing? Like, I've struggled with it all day today. I just don't understand a second-round pick on a backup or a gadget player. Either one. I don't get it.
Well, I don't think Jalen Hurts is a gadget player. I really don't. You know, I've heard comps to Taysom Hill. You know, Jalen Hurts is not going to cover kicks like Taysom Hill does. He's not going to block in the run. He's a quarterback. Develop him as a quarterback. Now, can you use him in packages? Sure. I think Doug Peterson will do that. But I think you draft him, Will, to strengthen your football team. If you talk to people around the league, his intangibles are off the charts in terms of his leadership, his ability to command a room. And if I'm a head coach, I want guys like that in the building. But does that mean he plays in day one? Probably not. Not in Philly. We know that. But you're trying to strengthen your football team through the draft. And I know it's a high pick. It's a day two pick. I get that. But that makes your football team better. It really does. If you have those guys around, it makes your football team better. Doug Peterson is an excellent coach. They'll find ways to utilize him. But ultimately, well, if I'm the coach, I'm developing him as my number two quarterback. And that's where I'm at right now.
Okay, and I hear you. And I've heard that the Eagles value the backup quarterback position like a top 10 roster spot. But I don't know if this is a question or if I'm just making a point here. Okay, if you have an answer, then it can be a question. I can't think of a team that's drafted a quarterback in the first or second round who didn't plan on turning it over to them at some point, who drafted them as a backup. I don't think they're trying to replace Carson Wentz, be clear. But I'm just saying, this has never been done that I can think of. We're spending a second on a guy who we hope doesn't replace our guy, who's just a backup.
No, I understand where you're going. I mean, I get that. But then I go back to what I'm looking at, is I'm trying to make my football team better, make the quarterback room better in terms of the backup position behind a guy in Carson. Look, and I love Carson Wentz in that offense. He's got every trait you want. Carson Wentz has availability concerns. You have to be honest about that.
For sure.
He has the injury concerns. He's missed games in the past. And missing a game this year cost him a chance in the playoffs. That could be a reason to look at it there. If we develop Jalen and we scheme for Jalen, when he does have an opportunity to play, he can run our offense and we can attack people differently.
Yeah. Matt Bowen here on the Will Cain Show. I only have time for one more and it'll have to be quick. This is listen, I'm a Cowboy fan. I think you could probably have guessed that. I am super jacked about CeeDee Lamb dropping to number 17. So make no mistake, I'm excited. But the way my brain works is I start looking for negatives. I always like, okay, let me poke holes. Is there anything to this at all, Matt? Can you have too much of a good thing? Could you have too many, like, number one wide receivers? So, like, Lamb, Cooper, Gallup was starting to be really good last year. And you're saying, I got to scheme all these guys. I got to get them the ball. I got to get touches. It's not basketball, but it is. I wonder, you want to get full value out of all of them. And if they're all only capable of getting involved to some degree, can you say, hey, I'm not getting the full value out of all of them?
We also have the running game and Zeke, too.
I know, and by the way, Pollard started to emerge last year too. So two running backs.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but you have to look at what it does for them schematically. I think that's the most important thing. You know, CeeDee Lamb can play outside and inside. I think that gives you the ability to move Amari Cooper around too as well. I really think this is about creating matchups in the pass game for Dallas because Gallup can stretch the field as you know your boundary target, and then with Cooper and Lamb, they're interchangeable either in the slot or outside. You can do stuff pre-snap motion. And with CeeDee Lamb, you want to give him high percentage throws, Will. You want to give him crossers. You want to give him in breakers. Why? Because he's so dynamic after the catch. He's like a running back in the open field. He caused 32 missed tackles last year at the wide receiver position. How many guys do that? I mean, what are we doing here? No one does that, right?
Right.
So he's got great vision. He's got juice in the open field. That's how you can scheme him up, and I think it gives your offense more matchup creativity as a team.
All right, really good stuff. I think that's the first time you've been on the show. Let's not make it the last. I really liked it, Matt. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you, Will.
All right, it's ESPN NFL and senior writer Matt Bowen here on the Will Cain Show. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. I did a standalone Cowboys draft podcast. It just went live. You can go get it, click it. I'm telling you, every single pick, grades, rankings, I play a game of would you rather. So I look at who went right after each of these picks and ask Bobby Belt and John Owning, two really good Cowboys analysts, about would you rather with these picks? I also asked them that question about can you have too much of a good thing with CeeDee Lamb. It's a really good deep dive if you like the Cowboys and you like the draft. Go get that on the Will Cain Show podcast. Coming up, I'm going to rank draft classes 10 to 1. The first five, 10 to 5, next on the Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
The first virtual NFL draft.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us get this party started.
It's now my honor to announce that the first ever virtual NFL draft is officially open. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock.
With the first pick in the 2020 draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow, quarterback, LSU.
I knew I was going to have a really good season. To jump up to number one overall is crazy to me, but it's a dream come true.
Episodes 3 and 4, The Last Dance, aired last night. I wrote down, I don't know, 7-8 different notes I want to share with you, including Michael Jordan throwing Scott Burrell under the bus. I mean, and backed up over him 3 times. It's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I love the draft, as you know, and I ranked my favorite draft classes from 10 to 1. Who had the best class? Who had the worst class? I'm not going to get into 32, but if you listen to the first hour of the Will Cain Show, you might have an idea of who's towards the bottom. But here are my classes, 10, 9, 8, 7, and 6. My 10 to 5 best classes in the NFL. The first two are teams that actually some other draft analysts that I respect, like Dane Brugler, had much, much lower. In fact, like in the 30s or late 20s, but I liked it better. At number 10, it's Los Angeles Rams. Others didn't like the Rams draft class. I did. They got Cam Akers, a running back. A caller asked me the other day when he called in on Friday what the Rams would do, and because they didn't have a first-round pick, clearly replacing Todd Gurley was one of those goals. I also like Van Jefferson, one of the best route runners. I like Terrell Lewis, who could, if healthy, provide pressure off the edge, and I love Burgess. Terrell Burgess, the safety out of Utah. I thought with 4 picks there, the Rams picked up 4 potential starters, and that's big in the draft. At number 9, the Denver Broncos. So we all laughed from the Will Cain Show. We made fun of John Elway saying the game is to keep up with the Chiefs, right? I know Mike A hated that in particular. But they are definitely drafting with that philosophy. They now have Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay in the backfield. Here's what they have at receiver now. They have Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler. That's speed. That's route running. That's big guy. They got Lloyd Cushenberry, who is their center. I like what the Broncos are building. The only problem is Drew Lock. There's no Pat Mahomes. The draft was good. At number 8, the Jacksonville Jaguars. You always have an advantage when you have volume. The Jags had a ton of picks. As Nuno predicted, they took C.J. Henderson in the top 10. They got Kalavon Chase on as he dropped to them, defensive end out of LSU. They got some receivers as well. Laviska Shenault and Colin Johnson out of Texas. Big. They're set up for next year when they just got to plug in the quarterback, which ought to be Trevor Lawrence if this tanking project in Jacksonville goes right. I actually like the foundation they laid there in this draft. At number 7, they only drafted one side of the ball, but they did a good job of it. I like doubling down, tripling down on strength or commitment. Carolina Panthers, wanted defense. Matt Rhule wanted defense. They come in at number 7. Derek Brown, Yetur Gross-Matos, Jeremy Chinn, Troy Pride, it wasn't Amick Robertson. It was a different Robinson. I didn't write his first name down, so I can't remember who it is, but I liked it. Panthers drafted defense heavily. It's clear that's what they're going to try to build around. Support Teddy Bridgewater. Don't make him score a ton of points. Let him hand the ball off and dump it off to Christian McCaffrey and make it work. I liked the Panthers at number 7. And at number 6, the Cleveland Browns. Just a quality draft. Jedrick Wills, I think, was the best offensive lineman in the draft. They got him at number 10. Grant Delpit started to get a little bit of a bad rap heading into the draft. Some thought he would be a first rounder, then drop all the way down to 3rd or 4th. The Browns pick up Delpit, who's a good free safety. Jordan Elliott's an athletic defensive tackle. Harrison Bryant, light but athletic tight end, adding him to Austin Hooper. And they picked up a nice center in Nick Harris from Washington. I like the Cleveland Browns draft at number 6. That's 10, 9, 8, 7, and 6 favorite drafts from this past weekend. I will give you 5 through 1 a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. Who had the best draft in the NFL? I won't be a homer. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Really quickly, Joe in Florida, what's up? You're on the Will Cain Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to talk. You've been talking about who nobody's been drafted for in the second round just to not supplant that quarterback. I offer you Pat White of the Miami Dolphins.
Who was the starter when they drafted White?
Chad Pennington was the starter. They spent 11-5, and they had Chad Henne as the backup drafted the year before.
Yeah, but here's the thing, man. I don't think they were committed to Pennington for the long term. It certainly wasn't comparable to Carson Wentz. You think they had no hopes on Pat White ever becoming somebody? I don't know, Joe. I don't know if that's an answer. I mean, think about it, but my knee-jerk reaction is nope. That's not somebody drafting for the best-case scenario being their backup. That's the Eagles' best-case scenario, that he's a good backup. I don't think we have a comp for that. The Last Dance aired episodes 3 and 4 last night. I got some notes for you, including who did Michael Jordan throw under the bus, back up over him, run over again. It's next on the Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.